Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A.
With TNK, I'm Kristen.
I'm Tiffany.
Welcome to our show.
Hey you.
What's our question for the day?
Our question comes from our friend Shauna from Minnesota. Hey, Shauna from Minnesota.
Hi, Shauna.
Her question is, how do you bring in different smells to your program?
Well,
I love this question. FYI.
Do you? I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to learn from you during this podcast. It's going to be fun. I love idea podcasts where we could like throw out things that we do. And then I learn from you.
I learn from you.
Aww.
We learn from each other. This is one of my favorite types of questions, FYI. Because I have never thought about this. But it is something I do all the time.
Right. I guess maybe I've thought about it a little bit just because I know that the five senses, I will not do a five senses unit. Five senses are just something that are always there.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, depending on who you ask. We didn't talk about that weird Aero conference at all. And somebody, I shouldn't say weird Aero conference. It was a great Aero conference. There was one person who did a whole workshop about the like hundreds of senses that we ignore.
Really?
Yeah, it was intense. And oh, I think it was more feelings than senses, but don't quote me on that.
Well, and some people are missing some of the senses. So, some people don't have sight or hearing. Or Steve knew his roommate in college didn't have a sense of smell. Hmm. Yeah. And he stunk really bad.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Yeah. How do you know if you don't know?
I know. And then how do you tell them? That you stink really bad, man. Use some deodorant or body axe.
Wash your clothes, bro.
So tell me about how you add smells into your program.
I feel like I'm always on the smell defensive. I am very self-conscious. I don't want our classroom to smell bad.
Right.
And I also don't want it to smell like bad center smell.
Right.
Do you know what I mean when I say bad center smell?
Pee?
Like pee mixed with bleach. There's definitely a bleach undertone to bad center. But there's also bleach undertone to nicely cleaned. So finding that balance is really important to me.
What do you guys use to clean with?
We use Meyer's rosemary.
Ooh.
Rosemary? We change it every once in a while.
Lavender is my favorite.
Yeah, lavender's nice.
Oh, we don't use it here. We use Young Living Essential Oils Thieves Cleaner because it's supposed to be better than bleach. They've done studies and it's supposed to be better than bleach. And it's like it's all essential oils. So it's all good for you.
Yeah.
You could like lick the table and be just fine.
Wow.
You could actually drink it right out of the bottle and be just fine, actually.
Whoa. And it's better than bleach? I'm writing this down right now. Can you say what it is again?
Young Living. It's like an essential oil network marketing company, but they have really good stuff. Thieves is the name of the cleaner. And it's like a combination of a few different essential oils that are known for like curing illnesses and things. It's actually this, if you buy the pure essential oil, you can actually like take a couple drops of it when you're feeling sick. Like if you're starting to feel sick, and it'll help cure up anything that you've got going on.
And it kills things as good as bleach does?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it smells delicious.
Yeah,
it smells natural.
I don't
like
that smell of the bleach smell. But we just, I had to take the annual bloodborne pathogens renewal thing.
Yeah.
And they really hit home that, what was it? Hepatitis C can live for up to 6 years in dried blood.
That's gross.
Which makes me want to just bleach the heck out of everything all the time now. And I know that's not the right answer, but like, gross.
Gross. So, okay. So we've covered what we clean with.
Which I think is important. Like, if you don't think about the smell of your cleaner, that is a smell that you use all of the time.
Right. And if you can use something that's a little bit not so astringent or
harsh,
hospital smelling,
yeah,
if you will, you may, I don't know, like the sense of smell can be, it's so sensitive. And if you, like for me, for instance, if somebody has a really strong perfume on, like that's, there's certain types of perfume I can't handle and I get headaches and I don't like being around it. It makes me crabby. So I think the same thing can be true for kids.
Yeah, is that absolutely.
Be very sensitive of the smells. So it's like, you know, Clorox, lemon bleach,
aerosol spray.
Yeah, that may not be good for the kids in your program. And
yeah,
some kids might be super sensitive to it. So I think something that's very cleaning, if you're going to clean, you have to clean your surfaces with something. It needs to just be very soft and not so cleanery smelling.
As far as the sensitive smell situation goes, I really advise figuring out which kid is the most sensitive to smell in your class.
Yeah.
And then bringing in smells that that child likes.
Interesting. It's a good,
not to cater to one child, but like I like to think about the indicator species, as it were, to give throwback to my bio degree. If you focus on helping the most sensitive child to smell be in a happy smell environment, everybody else then gets the benefits from that.
That's really cool.
So instead of like, you know, working to figure out how do I make everybody feel more sensitive, like find the one kid that speaks up every time you put on that cookie scented hand lotion and says, I love that. Find that kid who can smell it from three classrooms down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, ask them about smells in your classroom.
Totally.
Yeah.
Speaking, do you guys bake and cook in your classroom?
We do sometimes. Yeah. It's hard without a sink.
Oh, yeah. You don't have a sink. And you probably don't have an oven right in your classroom.
No, but we did make a sweet snack cart. That's like an old overhead projector cart with a toaster oven and a griddle.
Oh, cool.
And that kind of stuff. So we can bring it in on special occasions. During the wintertime, on days where it's like so gross that we can't go outside, which is rare.
Right.
You know me, I love to go outside. Being outside is really important to me. But on those days where it's like, well, we got 75 mile per hour gusts and the storms are coming. Then, you know, we bust out the pumpkin muffins and it's a fun hibernating experience for us.
Aww. So when you said snack cart, it totally brought me into the Harry Potter mind frame there. Like the snack trolley that goes on the Hogwarts Express.
Gonna buy some chocolate frogs while we're here?
Yeah. Oh, so cute. I think that by baking with children, it brings in a sense of home. It bring like banana bread. Lots of moms and dads and parents and grandparents bake banana bread or bake cookies. And I think that's something that's really important to do with children in your program because it helps them feel more at home.
Absolutely.
So we do baking with our kiddos and we do not a ton of cooking. But if there's, you know, if some parent brings in a bunch of apples, we make applesauce. We'll put it in the crock pot and have that kind of steeping all day and with the cinnamon in there. And it just smells really fall-like. And I think it's really comforting for the teachers as well, the adults in the room, because smells affect us too. And so to have that sense of home or sense of comfort, if that's a comforting smell to you, is important. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's important to add into your program if you're not already doing so, is do a little bit of baking.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean, this doesn't mean that you bake every day at 2 p.m.
No.
Bake when you want to bake.
Right. Or when the kids ask to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Not when you want to bake, when they want to bake.
Right. I knew. Yes. I knew what you meant. Okay.
Other smells.
Do you go ahead.
I think there are a lot of smells that just make up a preschool anyway. Whether they're good or bad, they're like memory smells.
Okay, I need to tell you, this is back to a previous podcast about the Mr. Sketch smelly markers.
Yes.
We need to have our own ECE edition of smelly markers. Mr. Sketch, we want you to do an edition for us. So I want tape cupboard. Like the tape cupboard smell.
Ooh, yeah.
I love that. And I think it just brings me back to my own childhood. Like, I don't know, crayon smell.
Crayon smell. Absolutely.
That's like a early childhood smell. What else are some other?
Old temper paint smell.
Ooh,
I kind of love it, though. Like,
you too.
Yeah.
I hear cheering.
Go Huskies. It's first day of Husky football in the background right now.
That's so funny.
Something good happened.
One of my favorite smells... And this is, I totally did this in, we had orientation open house for my kiddos. School is almost ready to start, but you'll probably hear this episode mid-September and school will already be started. But we were in the library with my kids and there was this old, there used to be these weekly reader books called Sweet Pickles. Mm-hmm. And I saw it on the shelf and I was like, oh my gosh, Sweet Pickles. Like, these were my favorite. And so I pulled it off the shelf and I opened it up and I like, leaned over and stuck my nose in the book and I took a big whiff of it. I love the smell of old library books.
Especially old library books.
Well, and it's just children's library books, the ones with the glossy pages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but I love the smell of it.
Mm. I love old chapter book smell.
Do you?
Yeah, that's really appealing to me. As long as it hasn't been sitting in a waterlogged basement, old book smell.
No.
That's like a little
that's
too
disgusting.
Close to dirty diaper for my liking.
Yeah,
which
that's
is.
Gross.
That's a real preschool smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. The who pooped smell.
And I think if you're a daycare provider, like daycare providers know the smell of like this of which child pooped. They can tell by the smell who pooped. Isn't that gross?
One of my friends, they had a baby at their school whose parents were vegan. And every time this newborn pooped, they would ask like, who's baking carrot cake right now? The baby had killer sweet butt and the poop smelled delicious.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Yes,
gross.
It is. But also I'd take that over stinky any day.
Yeah. Oh, it makes you wonder like why we put what we put into our body. If you can have sweet smelling poop, is that the way poop is supposed to smell?
Yeah.
Is sweet like that? Are we all supposed to be vegan?
Oops.
That's gross.
Uh-huh.
What about, do you add like scents to your Play-Doh or any of your sensory materials or anything
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. I think my favorite scent is rosemary rice, where at the rice table, we just dump in like, okay, if I haven't talked about Cash and Carry yet, my favorite preschool store in the world. It's a restaurant supply chain store. They have different versions in different states.
Yeah.
But you can go and get giant, like, quart size shakers full of seasonings.
Ooh.
And spices, and it's super cheap. So, and you also get, like, bulk rice and every type of pasta and every type of bean and the best tools for playing with Play-Doh and
really
sensory stuff. Yeah. They also have all the, like, AMCO, like, industrial-strength kitchen supplies there.
Ooh.
And you can get, here's how I know it's the best store in the world. You can buy a stock pot large enough to cook a child in.
Oh.
Could you imagine
a
stock pot that big on your playground for the kids to play in? It's expensive because it's huge, but...
Yeah.
So much fun. A kid fits in that.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great idea.
But you can go and get all the different spices. That way you can actually put enough in to make it
right.
smell.
So you just add rosemary to your rice.
Mm-hmm.
It smells divine.
Mm-hmm. You open up the lid to the touch table and it's like, instead of that opening where you go, ooh. And then you close it again and you
Let's
say,
get in there.
Don't touch that.
That's disgusting. Okay.
What are your favorites for that sort of stuff?
Cocoa mulch. Ooh, have you ever used cocoa mulch?
No.
Oh, write this down. So we bought ours from Kodo Kids, kodokids.com, and love it. It's basically the shell of a cocoa bean, and it smells like chocolate, and it is amazing. The kids love it. And it's, so we fill our sensory table with that, and then they grind it with pestle and mortar, and it just, like, totally fills the room. But I also think you can buy cocoa mulch in, like, the garden supply section of your, like, garden flower store.
Yeah. Your local plant nursery.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you can buy it there, too, but I'm not 100% sure. People use it as mulch.
Mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
That is a really awesome way to add smells in your program without having to do a lot on your part.
Right.
Because the kids will just find stuff on the playground and they'll grind it up and they'll be like, wow, this leaf smells great now. Suddenly everybody can smell it.
Yes. Do you have like an herb garden in your outdoor classroom?
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
We get plants donated at the end of every school year. And right now we've got like some basil and some lemon balm and a lot of tomatoes. Oh, I love the smell of tomatoes.
Do you?
Yeah. We have a whole bed full of different types of tomatoes, and the kids just walk through and eat them.
Oh, funny.
And just that, like, the smell of the tomato vines is so delightful to me.
Do you want to know what our kids did with the tomatoes last year?
What?
They didn't eat them. They made popper stew out of them, they called it. And so they spent, there was a group of kids that spent all day taking, like, unripened tomatoes. So they were green. And then, like, they would peel them open and get all the seeds out. And they put them in water then. So they had, like, thousands of tomato seeds in this pot, and they made popper stew out of the tomato seeds.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What did it smell like?
Unripened tomato.
That's another way to bring smell into your program. Ask about smell more.
Oh, yeah. Just reflective questioning. Like, yeah.
What does that smell like? I make kids smell rocks all the time. They'll be like, oh, this rock is warm. And I'm like, what does it smell like?
Have you ever read the book Everybody Needs a Rock?
I don't think so.
Oh, gosh. That is, like, I love that book. And there's, like, these rules for finding the perfect rock for yourself. And one of them is, like, to smell it. All rocks have a different smell. It is so cool. If you actually pick up rocks and sniff them, they smell different. We always, at the beginning of the school year, have the children pick their own rock. And we'll sometimes read that book, sometimes not. We sometimes paraphrase because it's not, it doesn't hold like a group of children's attention, but you could be able to hold one-on-one attention with it probably a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But we then have the children pick their rock. Then we both smell it. And then I make up an elaborate story about where their rock came from by sniffing it. Like I act like this, you know, like a magical person that can figure out where their rocks came from by the way that they smelled. So I sniff the rock and then say, oh, this one came from the bottom of the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean. And a shark ate it once. So I smelled that. But then the horrible part is then like a few months into the year, they're like, where did my rock come from again? And so then you can't remember. So you just
make up a new one.
Oh, do you remember where I told you it came from? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So rocks, they do have a smell. Mm-hmm.
They do. Everything really does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of smells.
So Play-Doh, what are some things you add to Play-Doh?
Oh, my favorite is chocolate Play-Doh. FYI. Yeah.
What
texture
recipe?
Is not usually good. But
do you have a certain recipe that you go to?
Deep Space Sparkle has, which is like a kids' art website, has a whole list of different Play-Doh types, and they're usually pretty good.
Lemon poppy seed Play-Doh is my favorite.
Ooh.
Absolute favorite. We, at the beginning of the year, pass out. When the parents come to open house, we give them, they all have to sign up to make, not have to, but if they choose to, we have a few different parents every month making Play-Doh, and so then we give them a list of all different kinds of Play-Doh, and lemon poppy seed is on there, and that's my absolute favorite when it comes in. Or like strawberry Play-Doh using strawberry cake mix.
Yeah, any cake mix base. Anything that smells good enough to eat.
Yeah.
I also like gingerbread Play-Doh a lot.
I do too. And just plain old vanilla. I like to add almond. Mm-hmm. Also like to add like lavender.
Mm-hmm. Peppermint. Peppermint's nice too. Mm-hmm. Like to get really nice white Play-Doh going with some peppermint in there, a little snowy.
Yes.
That's nice. That's nice.
And there was one more that is a really favorite of mine. Hold on here. I have a if you add like lemon zest and orange zest.
Mmm.
That's fun to do.
That sounds like a fun thing for the kids to help with too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'm excited to try the rosemary rice though. I wrote that down. Oh, pumpkin pie Play-Doh.
Pumpkin pie, nutmeg,
and cinnamon. That's a delicious one.
Do you ever paint with spices? Have you ever done that?
No, but I've put essential oils in paint, but I have never painted with spice.
Yeah, you can, if you just like put out little cups of the spice with little spoons. I love little tiny appetizer spoons for art.
Ooh.
Because then the kids like get to work on their fine motor in an interesting way, and then there's not as much, you like actually have to think about how you use this. I don't know. It's so much more control, and the kids have to really think about how they want to use it. It's not like a shaker where it just goes everywhere. It's more purposeful.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. Not that I care if it goes everywhere, but it's nice to have them
have
think
a little
about
bit
it
of
in a different way. Yeah.
Exactly. So are you thinking like taste tester spoons?
Yeah. The ones that I have are like the kind that you get in a salt dish that they only scoop like an eighth of a teaspoon.
Got it.
Just like a very tiny little, and they're usually kind of short, maybe like 4 inches long.
Do you get those at that store you were telling us about?
Yeah, you can get them there.
Yeah, like a restaurant supply store.
Yeah. We just had the first week of school, and a couple of our kids discovered that if they pour all the glitter in a bowl, then they can use the spoon to scoop the glitter onto their glue, and that was their favorite thing to do.
Oh, that's really cool for the first week of school. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Discovery.
I know.
I want my kids to discover that.
I'm feeling really good about this group, FYI.
The other thing I have that we do is bringing fresh flowers and fresh plants and things like that into the room to cut.
Yep.
You cut them and it emits like a wonderful smell in the room.
Yep. My favorite is when people who aren't at all associated with the preschool walk by and like have to pop their head in and like, what are you guys doing in here? It smells good. Like if the hallway smells so good, people have to find out what you're doing. That's a very good sign.
It is.
But this shouldn't be every day, I don't think.
No.
I think there's also something to be said for a good neutral as well.
Exactly.
You don't want it to be so overwhelming. Like, classrooms that run the essential oil diffuser all day, every day.
Yeah.
That, like, hurts my throat. I walk in, I'm just like, oh, God.
I know. Some people are really sensitive to that.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to
find. It's possible
to
have too much.
It is. It is possible to have too much. So limiting it. I mean, you don't want, like, lemon zest Play-Doh over here and rosemary rice over there and essential oils in your paint over here and spices on your art table over there.
Yeah. Do not one thing well.
Yeah. Do it right. So use this list of ideas throughout your whole entire school year, not just the first week.
Don't do a smell unit and then just bombard them. Everybody's eyes are watering. Like,
they're going to leave with headaches.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
It's time.
For
what would you do? Kristen, I've got one for you that's topic.
Okay.
Okay, Kristen.
Okay, Tiffany.
You've been telling your rock stories, and one kid hands you just the tiniest little rock, and it's just about as big as a jelly bean, and you tell a delightful rock story, and you sniff it. It smells delicious, and you tell them the story, and then they go to sniff it, and it whoop! Right up the nose.
Their nose.
Right up the nose. What would you do?
Oh, boy. it could have gone. So two different things could have happened. It could just be like slightly there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, oh, boy. Because I would probably react like, oh, that went up your nose. So what I would do is I would say, okay, just let me help you. And then I would gently place my finger on their other nostril and tell them to blow out. I think what I would do is I would tell them, I'm going to go like this, and then you're going to pretend like you're blowing your nose, and we're going to try to blow the rock out.
Uh-huh.
So I would, that's what I would do if it, you know, it was just lodged slightly up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would try the same thing if it was like lodged a little bit farther up. Mm-hmm. I would try the same thing, but then if it doesn't come out, obviously you'd have to call mom and dad and have them take them into the doctor to get that thing fished out.
What does that incident report look like to you? I taught this child how to sniff on a rock and then they sucked it up their nose.
Have you ever had anybody put anything up their nose in your program that you couldn't get out?
No. I have had an ear. There was a kid who used to try to take a bunch of rocks home, which I don't care. Why are you hiding it from me? He would put them in his ear.
And then
one day he was like, I can't hear. And we were like, oh, it's because you have like 10 rocks in your ear. that was exciting. The jelly bean situation definitely happened to me as a child.
Did it? And with a real jelly bean?
With my lucky rock, which was shaped like a jelly bean. And I was like, I bet this fits perfectly in my nostril. And it did.
And it did. And you couldn't get it out then, or what?
It took my dad 3 hours.
What did he do?
It was just me and him. And I think he wanted to get it out before mom came home.
Ooh.
I think it finally, he like doing the twist on a Kleenex thing to make a little pickaxe, you know?
Yeah.
Between that and some tweezers and a lot of vigorous blowing on my part.
Oh, boy.
It didn't come out until I stopped panic crying. Which I feel sucked it more and more further deeper.
It's almost like having a baby. Like, get that rock out.
Needed a full moon to just like suck it out.
If you don't catch that, you need to go back and listen to our barometric pressure podcast because you'll learn a little bit about body fluids and the tug of the earth's pressure systems.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I would try a neti pot.
Yeah.
Would a neti pot do it?
I wonder.
Or would it just like back up and come out your eyeball?
Not sure.
Somebody test it. Who's going to be brave and take one for the team?
That's so funny. Not me.
Oh, yeah. Not me either. No.
All right. Well, Tiffany.
Well, Kristen.
It's been fun. We'll see you next time on Q&A with
TNK.
Bye.
This has been Q&A with TNK. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.